Welcome back to the Nationals Review Podcast, the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com. My name is Colm, but I need the heart and soul of thenationalsreview.com, and he's no other than Charlie Flegel.
Hello, Colm.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
You know what? I'm doing excellent. End of the season is here. Hockey has started.
Hockey started early this year, I'm telling you.
I don't think it is true. I think it always.
I think you're right. I think it goes by the Hebrew calendar.
And that's
it always starts the week after, 2 weeks after Yom Kippur.
You know, I think actually they have a deal with baseball of the and football. When baseball, it's the end of the season. Let's say your team didn't do well. Okay, you go to hockey. But if football, your teams aren't doing well either, you're going to go to your hockey team. I mean, we're seeing football teams like Pittsburgh, their fans are now rooting for the Pirates hardcore.
You know, I want to root for the Pirates because...
I know, that game was amazing.
Well, it's just like they haven't been there in 20 years. It's such a great story, all that wonderful stuff. But, oh my God, I just like we see so many of our friends from college or high school or whatever that have Pittsburgh backgrounds because people moved away from Pittsburgh when the city went downhill.
Right.
And... like, I just think, like, it's just making these, like, Penguins and Steelers fans gloat about a baseball team that hasn't been good for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a lot of Nats fans. I didn't see a lot of Nats fans gloating last year.
Yeah, I think the last time I believe Pittsburgh was popular, I believe Timmy Wake was a pitcher for them.
They have not been good for a long time. Although somebody did point out they've never lost a division series game.
Well, is that true?
They've never played in one. The last time they had made the playoffs was pre-division series.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Although, full disclosure, before we talk about our picks.
Yes.
We already know what's the Pirates are.
Right.
Down big in a game right now. So we're doing the podcast on Thursday night. So we get a little preview of game one of the NLDS. And it ain't pretty for the Buccos.
No, it's not.
They did not light their mups tonight.
I mean, we're in the top. The game's almost over, and it is 9-1 going into the top of the ninth. And, I mean, it shows – I mean, we just were talking about it. I mean, we can get into it. It's basically St. Louis doesn't really get the credit of how incredible they are. And guys like David how do you say his name?
Descalso.
Descalso and Pete Cosmo. Like just
you know, I got to give – what the DeWitts is a CEO and president, and I don't even know who the GM is.
I have no idea.
I don't know who their GM is. Marshall. John Mozeliak. Huh. Anyway, wow. What an unknown guy for being like. I mean, they were so good for so long, and I think everybody just assumed it was La Russa. But La Russa's gone, and they're still awesome.
Then people said Pujols, and he's gone, and they're still awesome.
And I think Matheny's fine, but I don't think he's anything special. And so you got to look at the front office. And all they do is bring up, like, pitchers that throw strikes at 100 miles an hour in the bullpen, and they bring up these, like, Alan Craig types that nobody talks about, but they hit 290 with 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. Fat Matt Adams.
Now that's his name. Fat Matt Adams.
Fat Adams.
Fat Adams. He's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was fun to watch his teammates make fun of him run out of play today. Yeah, they're good. Yeah. I hate him.
But our season ended. What are you drinking tonight?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Well, what month is it, Colm?
It is October.
I'm drinking a Brooklyn Oktoberfest, and it's okay. It's not my favorite Oktoberfest, but I will finish the beer like a trooper and the other six or the other five in the pack.
October is my favorite beer month.
Is it?
It is. I thought about it, and every time October comes, I'm definitely drinking more because all the gimmick beers are out.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking a Dogfish Head Pumpkin Ale.
You know, I've never been a big pumpkin ale fan.
Uh-huh.
And I think the reason is they taste like pumpkin and not like all the pumpkin spices that I associate with the season.
Right.
And like, that's what I like. I like pumpkin pie taste, and pumpkin pie doesn't taste really like pumpkin. It tastes like whatever the heck kind of seasoning
right.
they put in there. So I don't know. But I like Oktoberfest beers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I really like that they don't make a lot of here?
What?
The Dunkels are like one of my favorite kinds of beer. And they don't make a lot. They're not popular in the U.S., but the first time I tried one was like a couple of years ago. I was at a restaurant. Somebody recommended it, and I looked it up. And they basically said that it's kind of a popular Oktoberfest beer in Germany. Right. It's just like a fall beer. It's not necessarily an Oktoberfest beer, but it's considered a fall beer, so a lot of people drink it. But there is one of my favorite beers ever. If you ever see it, there's Eyinger, A-Y-I-N-G-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
Their Dunkel is good. It's probably one of my favorite beers ever.
A-Y-I-N-G-E-R. Oh, I gotcha.
And they have
definitely going to check that out.
It's one of those. It's a German-looking bottle. And it's amazing. Like one of the bigger bottles. Like it's not a 12-ounce. It's like a 16-ounce or something like that.
Wow, on my beeradvocate.com site, it gives a 93 out of 100 for outstanding.
Well, there you go.
Right there.
But don't get the Dunkel Weiss. Get the Dunkel. What are you drinking tonight, Mr.?
Like I said, I sort of teased it. The Dogfish Head Pumpkin Ale.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Pumpkin Ale.
Right, yeah. I'm a huge fan of – that's the only pumpkin ale I actually like is Dogfish Heads.
I might have to try that one because I tend to like what they do. Actually, I tend to like or hate what they do, and I respect that about them.
Right, and I do hate that it comes in a 4-pack. That's what I do hate.
For $12.
Yeah, and it's a 7% alcohol, though, which is –
Well, you like that.
I do like that.
Well, very good. So
let's talk some Nats.
Let's talk about the Nats.
Yeah.
A good end of the season, no doubt.
Oh, for sure. I guess they succeeded our expectations.
Right. They didn't exceed it. They succeeded it.
Yes.
Well, we both kind of agreed that we didn't think they were going to catch the Reds.
No.
We thought, I think what we said on the podcast was we kind of settled on 87 or 88 wins, three or four games back. That would have been the right number of games back. They finished with 86 wins and 5 games back, I think.
Right.
They
had – I think it was like – there was a crucial game. I can't remember if it was the Atlanta game or the series right before that where they had to win because we already knew that Cincinnati had lost and they didn't win that game. And that was the huge one right there.
Yeah. So they finished 4 games back because Cincy had 90 wins. So 4 games right. back, 86 and 76. All in all, not – a horrible season. It was
bad the way
it turned out because they played so well at the end and so poorly at the beginning that you just think it is a little differently.
Right.
I told you, I mean, I've mentioned on the show why I think what their big cause to me was. There were some things that went wrong. Obviously, the Roche didn't have a good year, but he wasn't a black hole.
No, it was not. 237 is not a black hole.
Well, he also runs. You know, an OPS that was just above average, which for a first baseman is bad, but it's still
not
something
terrible.
That you can sustain.
Everyone can be a Doug Mankiewicz in his
right. And Span didn't have a great season, and Heron was terrible the first half. You know, so there were things. But to me, it was really two things. It was Danny Espinosa being terrible, just
terrible.
A horrible, horrible player this year for whatever reason. And we've gone over why I think it was the shoulder. But that and the bench being really bad. So when the first first third of the season, the first 2 to 3 months, you basically had Harper, Worth, and Ramos all out for different amounts of time. And you're filling them in with Suzuki, who is terrible, Tyler Moore, Steve Lombardozzi, Roger Bernardina, Cabernas. I mean, just players that were hitting awful. And I think that sort of combination of the good players being injured and the bad the backup players being really, really bad.
Right.
That's what sunk them, you know.
That's a really good like breakdown of really where it came from, and not which is good because at least we know what the problems are and they're easily fixed.
Right, and so actually, I just posted something on the website today about where the position players rank among the other NL players.
Oh wow!
And it's like Worth, Desmond, Harper, Zimmerman, Ramos, and Rendon all were above the average player at their position in sort of the slash line average on base slugging OPS. Worth being very high, Desmond and Harper being pretty good, pretty high, Zimmerman pretty high. Ramos and Rendon just above average for a catcher and a second baseman, but still above. And then Span was right on the line and LaRoche was below it. And so you look at that and you go, well, who do they really need to fix? Who do they need to replace? And you can look at that and kind of say, well, the team for the most part is where it needs to be. If everybody hits above average and a couple guys like maybe Harper and Desmond are more than above average, I don't know if Worth will repeat, but...
I'm looking at this article now because I didn't get to check this out today. It's amazing. I mean, all those stats right there, it's amazing that Ian Desmond is pretty much the... Possibly, I'd have to see the other guys, but definitely the top three best shortstops.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one guy in Colorado.
Yes, obviously. And
so
then
two,
who,
it's better, but... Yeah, over the course of a season, Hanley was hurt a lot this year, so... Right. You know, value-wise, Desmond might have been worth more, but...
But then you look at Rendon, and so Rendon, our rookie is in the middle pretty much of the pack of all of NL shortstops. That's incredible.
Yeah, second baseman, yeah.
Wow.
And then Ramos, top slugging, good average, good OPS, a little low on-base percentage, but again, first really full season... Young guy, you expect that to improve somewhat, but even if it doesn't, there's a 20-plus home run catcher.
True. Plus, this was like an injury year where he was in, he was out.
Right.
That's crazy.
So you wonder if he had a full season, what he would do. So,
right.
So those, you know, not a lot of changes to lineup. I guess we're not even real. I don't even really want to get into changes, but just the performance. The lineup didn't perform that poorly in the end. They finished sixth in runs scored in the league. It was just really bad at the beginning. And so they didn't recover. They didn't do well enough to recover. They had a great late season surge. Some of that was obviously the teams that they were playing, right?
Right.
But, you know, they basically won like the last – they basically had like won the last – of their last 30 or 40 games, they won like two-thirds of them. So, I don't know. It's hard to look at this team and think that they need to make a lot of changes. And obviously, we know the pitching staff is good. So, disappointing, no doubt. We'll get into what we think they should change down the road. But it's good to see them finish strong. It's good to see that they still have the talent there. And maybe one thing we can talk about is their next manager.
Wow. Love all the rumors that are going around.
How do you feel about so Desmond basically came out and said that he likes the bench coach. Randy Knorr.
Which, I mean, if my opinion on Randy Knorr is that if it happened, I wouldn't be upset at all, but it's
it
not
wouldn't
the
excite,
sexy
right?
bit.
Right. Yeah.
There
yeah,
you
I mean, you kind of want something to be excited about.
Exactly.
So here's my take on it. I don't know enough about who's a good manager. I've told you time and time again that all I wanted them to do was get Terry Francona. And I even mentioned, I think, on the podcast last year that I wasn't sure if I thought they were going to make the playoffs this year. I predicted them to go far.
Right.
But I was still concerned that, like, Davey in his last year, they would miss out on Francona because that's the guy I wanted. That was
right.
the guy I said,
too.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox basically fired him because they felt they had to, but I really liked him. And so with him gone, there's no sexy pick out there that I really want. But at the same time, like, I don't care that Desmond says he wants Knorr. I think Tyler Clipper came out and was basically like, whoever comes in here shouldn't mess up the atmosphere that we have. And it's just like, you know what, if you guys won 96 games this year, you could say that, but you won 86, so
right.
Like, it doesn't really matter. I guess what I'm getting at is, do you care what Tyler Clippard and Ian Desmond think about who should be their next manager? Because
no,
I don't.
No, I care what Bryce thinks and Jason Worth and Zimmerman.
I don't care what any of them think in terms of naming the next manager. Now, when
gotcha.
When the next manager comes, he sure better, you know, get their respect, and I hope they have a good relationship. But it doesn't have to be. They like Randy Orton because they know him and they're friends with him, and he's a good coach or a good, you know, bench coach, and he's been through the minors with him. That doesn't mean he's a good major league manager, and it doesn't mean he's the right one. Doesn't mean he's the wrong one either. I just don't think they need to name him just because the guys on the team like him.
Right.
So, I don't know. There's nobody out there that, I mean, I guess if they wanted to name like La Russa, my ears would perk up. But talking to Matt Williams in Arizona, I don't have an issue with that. I know some people on Twitter have voiced their concern about yet another guy from the Diamondbacks, but it doesn't bother me if he can do the job. I just don't know if he can or he can't. I have no idea.
Right, exactly. So what are the other people out there that you are looking at?
Well, I think Girardi's probably going to get an offer from the Yankees, but
you think so? They're not going to go. They're going to stick with him.
I think because it doesn't affect their payroll. I think they like him. I think they know he's a good manager, and I think they hear the rumors and they know that he'll get paid somewhere else. That they'll want him,
right?
But I like him. I don't think he's not somebody that I'm like, oh, they have to go try and get him. But I think he's a perfectly good manager, and he embraces like advanced statistics, and he's an ex catcher, and he played in the majors. So he's got all the things that I like in a manager. Somebody that's
I love him.
Yeah, not gonna ignore like, you know, not gonna bat Steve Lombardozzi second just because he's a contact guy.
Right.
Like somebody that's gonna bat a guy that hopefully belongs batting second. So he embraces those advanced stats, but he's also like, he was a gritty, hard-nosed player. He was a catcher.
Right.
So I like him, but I don't sit here and go, oh, he's one of the top five managers in the league either. I just think he's a good manager. I don't think he's shown me that he's great. I don't know. Is there anybody that you look at and you really want?
I mean, for me, the sexy pick for me would be Cal Ripken.
Cal.
I mean, to be honest, I know he has no experience. All I know is he knows baseball. He knows.
He does. He's a good announcer, and he knows the game well. Yes. And he communicates it well.
He knows business.
Yeah.
So I would love if they did it. I would be super excited and go crazy, and the town here I know would go freaking nuts.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, I don't think this is a shock to say that a lot of people that grew up in the area like the Orioles, or at least paid attention to them when they were, you know, growing up around here before the Nats got here. And even if they weren't Orioles fans, like I didn't grow up an Orioles fan, but I loved Cal.
Right.
Because who didn't love Cal?
Who didn't love Cal?
But on top of that, it's like he was also such a good player. He was respected league wide, but he was the local guy that was respected league wide. So even if you weren't like an Orioles fan, you still kind of saw a lot of him around here. So it would be exciting. My worry about him is that how many really good, like really, really good players made good managers?
Yeah. Well, Don Mattingly's doing a hell of a job right now.
Don Mattingly looks good so far. Yep. It's early. And the guy that was Don Mattingly's mentor, Joe Torre. Joe Torre was an MVP.
Mike Matheny.
Yeah, Mike Matheny wasn't.
Bob Melvin.
Not a great player.
Not Rob Deere. I always say Rob Deere, but I mean Kirk Gibson.
Well, Kirk Gibson hasn't shown that he's been a great manager yet. But, yeah, I mean, there are some guys now that are doing it. But for the most part, I don't know. And all those guys you name are good. But I'm talking about like
ones that
superstars tend to – and Ripken seems very smart. So I'm not going to say that this is what's going to happen with him. But – oftentimes, superstars tend to kind of expect their players to just – it's kind of like, just do this thing. Because that was the story with Ted Williams, that he couldn't manage well because, yeah, he understood the game and he understood how to teach it. But when somebody couldn't hit the ball on the outside corner because they didn't have the ability to, he wouldn't understand like why they couldn't do that because he was so good and he could do everything.
Right, right.
And that's what I worry about a guy like Cal.
Hmm.
But – I would still be excited for him.
Right. No, for sure.
There's some other guys floating around there.
But that was like, if I get pick who I want. But, I mean, Randy Nor is the smart thing. I mean, keep the same group together. Keep going. If it doesn't work out.
Okay, so I'll disagree with you that keeping the same group together is necessarily a good thing because they only won 86 games this year. But
true.
We also know that they started out really poorly and got their act together and did much better. It just wasn't enough. So we're not advocating blowing up the team, so there's no reason to advocate totally changing the coaching staff either. So the one thing, though, with Nor is that I do like is he seems to have a lot more fiery of a personality, and Davey seemed so laid back, and obviously I'm not in the locker room, but he seemed so laid back that when they were doing badly, I don't know if it worked. And Nor seems like the kind of guy that might chew them out a little bit.
Oh, interesting. So you
think like that. It's the old players coach versus sort of coaches coach or whatever. I don't know what the opposite of a players coach is, but, in a lot of the other sports, when you have a players coach who coddles the players a lot and he doesn't do well, you usually fire him and get a disciplinarian type in.
Right.
And Nor seems a little bit more like that to me. So that's just my two cents on the manager. I'm sure whoever they get, I'll find a reason to like it and dislike it at the same time.
All right.
So, all right. Enough about the Nats season. We can talk about who
Yeah, I mean, what else can we say? We lost. It's over. Go enjoy playing golf and be back next year ready to go.
Enjoy your 0-2 Capitals.
Yeah. Are they officially lost tonight?
I don't know if they've lost yet, but they were down by a lot to a West Coast team.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's early.
It's early. It's early. Well, next thing I know, it's over.
It's a game in. Two games in. They played well with game one.
They did. They scored a lot of goals. That's all that matters.
So, and the Redskins are 1-3, so it's awesome. But our Terps are undefeated until they play Florida State. So that's another couple days for us. Then they'll be 4-1. But on to – how about we talk about the playoffs, Colm? Because the playoffs are going on. The Nats aren't in it, but they're happening.
No, they're not in it, but they are happening. And it's, I think, one of our favorite time of the year. So
it's definitely
worth watching.
I love October baseball. And, you know, there are teams that make my skin crawl, so I like to root against them.
Right.
And teams that I actually like, even though they're not my team, and I like to root for them. So before we even get into it, you and I gave each other our picks for...
We did.
For the, not the elimination game, the wild card game.
Right.
Actually, before we get into that, what do you think about that? The one game series? Do you like it?
I mean, it's definitely an exciting game because the one game playoff was great too.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, for some reason, it has that same like atmosphere that like an NFL game has where the crowd gets really into it because everyone knows everything's on the line here.
Yeah.
So I used to think it was stupid, but I'm starting to more and more like it because it's so exciting.
I know
you're watching a good game.
Yeah, I'll give you that it's exciting. I don't know. I'd prefer them to do a three-game series, and I'd even be willing to do that at the expense of the NALCS being a five-game series. I don't know that it would ever happen that way, but... I don't know. One game in baseball just seems so...
One game. It seems weird because there's been so many games played and we're always used to series played. So that's the only reason it seems weird. But, I mean, the excitement that they have at those games...
It's exciting.
When they were chanting Cueto, and he drops the ball, it was like they did it and they got into his head and the crowd erupted.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like, though, I think of, like, what if a basketball series was one game? It seems...
It'd be exciting too. Game 7.
Well, it would be exciting in the fourth quarter because it's the only time basketball is exciting.
It would be a problem.
I don't know. I'm not a fan, but I like baseball enough that, like you said, it's still exciting to me. I would just prefer it to be more games. Right. Just three. I would be good with three.
Three's good. Three is good, yeah. Anything that's shorter amount where they basically, if they could each win a game and then you get to that game three, it's just exciting. People want one and out. You have to do it all right now.
So we each went 1-1. You picked the both Ohio teams, right?
I went for Ohio. Yeah.
And I picked the Indians and the, no, you picked You picked the Indians in red, so you are 0-2.
0-2.
And I picked the Indians and the Pirates, so I was 1-1.
Right.
So let's move on and name. Let's go round by round and talk about who we think is going to win. Starting with the one that already happened, because so, let's get that one out of the way. The one game's already happened. The Pirates are now down one game to nothing to the Cardinals. Do you see the Cardinals finishing them off?
Yes, I do. I'll take St. Louis for the win, Alex.
I do, too. I think St. Louis is too good. I think their lineup is too good, and they have sick pitching. And if their pitching doesn't do great one day, they have sick relief. So I really like the Cardinals team. I really hate them, but I really like them.
Yeah, they're too good to deny of the – and the experience they have in postseason is just – that team's ready to play.
Now, what about the other wild card game, the Tampa Bay-Boston game, which starts on Friday?
This one's hard, but I'm going to go with Boston. I don't think Tampa Bay's pitching is as good as Boston's pitching.
So I know this is weird, but I was going to pick Boston, and then they showed a picture of what Fenway looked like today, the same time the game's going to start tomorrow.
Right.
And there was like crazy shadows, and I was just like, wow, if it's sunny tomorrow, they could go 3 hours without, or maybe not 3 hours, but a couple hours without being able to see the ball really well.
Right.
And that's like, maybe, I don't know. I just have a feeling about Tampa Bay being able to beat Boston, and maybe I'm just coming up with excuses.
It would be huge. It would be huge, but I don't see it.
I think Boston is maybe the second best team in the whole thing, or third at the most, but at the lowest, or maybe the best. But I don't know. I just feel the Rays are going to beat them. So I got the
Rays.
All right, back to the NL.
Yes.
L.A. versus the Barbs.
I think L.A. is putting it together this year, and they're going to stop the Braves.
I have the Dodgers, too, and that's not just my hatred for the Braves, because
they have it.
I do hate them.
This is their year. Spoiler.
Spoiler. Let's move on to... Okay, Detroit and Oakland.
Ugh, boring. I don't care. I'm going to go with... I mean, I'd love to say Oakland, but the smart money is on Detroit. I mean, they have the pitching and they have the hitting, and I think it'll be a good series, but I think ultimately Detroit wins.
I do, too, and it pains me because I really like Oakland, and I'd love them to win. But I saw a stat the other day that three of the top four pitchers in wins above replacement in the AL are Detroit starting.
Yeah, dude, their pitching staff. In the playoffs, you cannot beat a team with great pitching.
So I have to pick Detroit, too.
Yeah.
All right. So then in the NL, should we go to the NL?
Yes.
L.A. versus St. Louis.
L.A. for me, please.
I have L.A. as well.
Yes, they're going to the World Series.
So we have L.A. in the World Series, and then they're matching up of the winner between...
Yours is
you have Detroit and Boston, and I have Detroit and Tampa Bay. Who do you have going?
I'm having Detroit versus the Dodgers in the World Series.
I'm having Detroit versus the Dodgers in the World Series.
Well, that's because that's what it'll be.
And spoiler alert, you already told me who you're picking.
I'm going with the Dodgers. Don Mattingly raises his first ring.
And guess what? So am I. I think the Dodgers are just a team of, not destiny, but a team on the roll, a team that's really good. I think Puig's going to turn it up because he's been a little quiet lately, but between Puig in the spotlight, I think he's got that ability to just shine, and Clayton Kershaw's the best pitcher in baseball.
He's the best pitcher, and I think he wins MVP of the World Series.
And so, boring with us, we both have the same World Series pick and the same World Series winner, so nobody
makes sense.
Nobody gets to pay the other person $20 for picking
the
right one.
But we've watched enough baseball this year to realize what's going to happen. I mean,
or to realize that it doesn't matter what we pick. Crazy stuff happens anyway.
True.
So it'll
be Tampa Oakland. Bay can win the whole thing.
The Oakland versus Pittsburgh, and
that'd be such a terrible World Series.
There'd be a lot of yellow. I would love to watch Oakland in the World Series.
I would, too. I like that team. I just don't think they can beat Detroit.
I just don't want Atlanta to be there.
Yes, I don't want that. I don't want St. Louis to be there.
I can handle St.
Louis. Dodgers.
Pittsburgh, I don't mind. Who minds Pittsburgh these days, right?
No, I don't mind.
Well, my dad still thinks – he's still angry about them, about, like, Bill Mazeroski in the 1960 World Series. But that's because he was a kid in the Bronx at the time. I, on the other hand, don't give a crap about the Pirates.
It doesn't affect you.
Exactly. All right, so we got the Dodgers.
Yeah.
We got all going all the way. What about let's talk about postseason or regular season awards, which
yes.
I've not given out yet. Cy Young, MVP. Do you want to start with the other leagues, or do you want to start with our hometown Nats? I think the Nats one might be pretty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead with that.
So let's start with that. Who's your Nats MVP this year?
My Nats MVP has to be Jason Worth. I think if you look at it, stat-wise and what he means to that team in leadership, there's no better Nat than Jason Worth.
It's kind of crazy because do you remember when he came over and he was hitting poorly and maybe this is
people hated him.
People hated him, and he was like thought of as like this surly guy that wouldn't talk to the media and stuff. And now all they talk about is like how good of a leader he is. Yep. And I don't know if he's matured or if it's just that's the difference between when you're hitting well and when you're not. But anyway, what about – so that's an obvious one.
Yeah.
The guy top five in the league in on base or in slugging and OPS and just great all year.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly – even though he was, you know, out for like 30 games this year, 35 games, something like that, if the Nats had won four more games and gotten into like a single game playoff with the Reds,
right,
Worth would be in the conversation for MVP of the league.
Oh, for sure.
He wouldn't have won it because they would have been like, well, he was out for this long and this and that, but four more wins and Worth would be top 10 MVP voting in the league.
Wow. That's crazy.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's move on to the Cy Young Award.
Cy Young.
This one is probably Nats. For the Nats. Right. I have a feeling we're going to pick the same guy.
Yeah, because it's Jordan Zimmermann.
It's an obvious one.
Yeah,
Jordan Zimmermann was great this year.
Great.
Very similar numbers to Gio, but a lot more wins. And while we know the pitcher's W isn't as big of a deal as it used to be, if the two guys are equal, you got to tip it to the guy that has the wins, right?
Yes, exactly.
And then Strasburg, probably better numbers than the two of them in terms of ERA and strikeouts, but didn't pitch as deep into games, missed a couple games. Can't blame Strasburg for the horrible, horrible hitting behind him.
No, you really can't.
Really bad run support. Really got screwed with weather, ended up, you know, pitching five innings a couple times and then having to leave early because they did delays, but just didn't put together the kind of year that Gio or Jordan Zimmermann did. So,
right.
With a better ERA, I'm still voting for us. So you're not going to vote for Heron? You sure?
No, I'm not. See you later, Heron. Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah, he won't be here next year. All right, so enough about the Nats.
You know what Dan Heron will be when we're older and you go, who's that pitcher doing the 2013 season?
Right, he'll be
the only time I'll ever think of Dan Heron ever again.
To like the Esteban Loaiza pile of former Nats players. So let's talk about the National League. Who do you think's the MVP in the National League?
The MVP of the National League.
There's a couple good, you know, a couple good candidates here. Can we tell you mine?
Yeah, why don't I hear yours? Because it could be. Is it the kid out in Arizona?
No, that's a good pick. I can't fault you for picking Goldschmidt.
Right.
But I went with Andrew McCutchen.
Because, really?
You know, one of those all-around guys that 20 home runs, 20-plus steals, great defense, just team leader, had an incredible September. And I think that to me, that matters, how good you play in September.
Yeah,
it shouldn't,
I agree.
But it does. To me, at least. So I picked McCutchen.
Wow, that is a great pick. I'm going to go with Paul Goldschmidt because the guy is tied for the lead in home runs in the NL. He's number one in RBIs by almost by 20, a little less than 20. This kid's hitting his stride, and he's going to be something next year, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Now, there's one sort of honorable mention I want to give, and this guy, I think, is going to finish in the top five in voting, maybe top 10, despite the fact that I think he has like 11 home runs.
Who?
And that's Matt Carpenter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great this year. And if you look at the power he had with those 11 runs, home runs, he was still, you know, hitting a lot of extra base hits, hitting for average, all while playing second base, you know. Mm. And there's something to be said about a guy that can do that as a middle infielder in an age where middle infielders just don't hit like they used to. So.
Right.
But I went with McCutchen. Now, judging by a little bit of our conversation earlier, I'm guessing I know who you picked for NL Cy Young.
I mean, I love – I'm going to say Clayton Kershaw, but I wouldn't have a problem giving it to Andrew Wainwright, who had an incredible year.
So. Adam Wainwright, yeah.
Adam.
Yeah, I mean, Wainwright was probably 1A behind Kershaw. I mean, yeah. Wainwright had a good year. There's a couple – I mean, I picked Kershaw, too. I don't think it's
– to a 1.83 ERA throughout the entire season.
I think I read this year – or I read on Twitter or something that – he's the first Dodgers pitcher to have an ERA under 2.
God, how long?
Since?
Koufax.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's right. He I'm looking up right now. Koufax had an ERA of 1.73 in 1966.
He's a once-in-generation type pitcher now. He's really hitting his prime, too. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of this for the next, like, remember when Halladay hit his prime? We're seeing that with Kershaw.
I feel like it hasn't happened in a little while, but there was a time where there was just one or two pitchers where you're like, that guy's the best guy in the league for several years. Like Pedro did it.
Right. Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson did it. I feel like Schilling, there was a
Ben
couple.
McDonald.
Not quite.
Oh, no.
Levon Hernandez.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like, you knew that guy's were the best.
Yeah, Kershaw's.
Verlander, I guess, had it when they were doing their World Series Verlander. Runs.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it has happened more recently than.
Yeah. It's just weird. It's just somehow they just put it all together and they just do it for like 2 to 3 years.
Unstoppable.
Kevin Brown, he had it.
There were a couple. Well, yeah.
He was so dominant. He didn't get enough credit.
Now, there were a couple other guys that I think deserve to be in the conversation. Not that I would vote for them over Kershaw, but. You know, it's hard to remember at this point this far away, but Harvey was awesome this year, Matt Harvey, before he got hurt. I mean, what a great
he was, that's right.
And then two other guys that had a really good year. Cliff Lee on the Phillies was awesome.
Awesome.
Cliff Lee had
still
an incredible,
a king in strikeouts.
And Matt Latos had an incredible year in a both those guys played in really in hitter's park.
Yeah.
Latos and Lee. So they deserve some credit, but yeah, right. I'm going with Kershaw. All right, to the American League.
The American League, I'm going with Mr. Max Scherzer.
Actually,
only 20-game winner.
I picked him, too. And it's interesting because I mentioned this before, but it's Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, and Verlander are 1, 2, and 4 in wins above replacement for pitching. And then King Felix is number 3. But, yeah, I'm picking Scherzer, too, because he led in wins. He led in war. He led in, I mean, I think he might have led in or been top 3 in, like, strikeouts and ERA. Scherzer just put it all together.
Yeah.
And you know who else I really like is, like, a sleeper?
You, Darvish.
Well, Darvish had a really good season, too.
He almost had 300 strikeouts.
Colm, like, you're going to like this one, though. It's not one? Darvish.
Who?
Iwakuma.
Oh, Iwakuma in Seattle. I love him.
He was so good this year.
He really was.
And he had I think he had like 13 or 14 wins on a team that was not good.
Right.
And his ERA was incredible. And
it's so weird how good Seattle's pitching staff is, but they just have terrible offense.
Well, some of that is the park, but some of that is... Look, Iwakuma is like in his early 30s. They just got him from Japan, and he turned out to be a good guy. Sometimes you get somebody from Japan, and they suck, and sometimes you get him, and you're like, well, why didn't everybody else go after him? But he finished the season with a 2.66 ERA.
Wow.
And 185 strikeouts. So,
right. Yeah,
he's going to be picked up in a lot of fantasy leagues earlier next year.
He was on my team this year.
Nice. Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah.
All right, so the always controversial the last 2 years, AL MVP.
Right. I'm going, of course, there's no one better than Miguel Cabrera. He's the best player.
No.
He is the best player in baseball.
Oh, he's the best hitter in baseball.
True.
Here's why I'm not voting for him.
Wow, this is controversial.
The same reason why I liked McCutchen. Miggy basically didn't play since mid-August.
True.
Team coasted in. And so all these people that talk about value and you have to be on a playoff team.
Right.
Well, what happens if your team does so well that you don't even need to play and you can't walk and you're not ambulatory and you suck for a month and a half?
Right.
Like, that's basically what he was. Now, he's still the best hitter, and he's a guy I'd least want to face, but I don't think he was the best player this year because he can't play the field. And
you're talking about a guy who hit 348 with 44 home runs and 137 RBIs.
Yes, I don't think he's the best player of baseball. I think he's the best hitter.
I think
there's
a
difference.
True.
I think he's the best hitter this year.
He's definitely the best hitter in baseball.
For, you know, all the guys that talk about how important, like, fundamentals are, I'm surprised that the old school type players don't take into, or the old school type writers and people that vote for this don't take into account stuff like this.
Yeah, they won't.
The base running and all that. Right. By the way, Miguel Cabrera in the last month of the season slugged .333.
Awful.
I'm just saying.
What? So who's your pick? You didn't tell me who your pick is.
I picked Trout, the best all-around player in baseball. Numbers offensively a little bit behind Cabrera.
I think he's eventually going to be the best player.
No doubt his numbers are a little bit behind Cabrera's.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, his average is a little bit behind his. He doesn't have quite as much power as Cabrera, right? How many home runs did Cabrera hit this year?
44.
Cabrera hit 44. Trout only hit 27 in one of – in actually what's considered the best.
That's because Trout is clean and Miguel Cabrera is not clean.
Miguel Cabrera is filled with cookie dough and steroids.
I don't know what he's on.
Well, Mike Trout, you know, I think there's something to be said for where he plays, right? Because
– Oh, true.
Anaheim is considered – statistically the toughest stadium to hit in.
Yeah.
But they also, I mean, if you're on the West Coast, you also have to play a lot of games in Seattle and Oakland, which are also really, really bad hitters parks. I'm not saying he would have hit 44 home runs, but he would have hit a few more home runs. On top of that, all right, so Trout had, you know, 27 home runs to Miguel Cabrera's 44 home runs. Miguel Cabrera had 3 stolen bases. Trout had 33 stolen bases.
Wow.
Trout had 3 RBIs shy of
100. So basically you're saying he's a 5-tool player, and Miguel Cabrera is 3 tools.
Player. Yeah, he's the best all-around player in baseball, and he was this year. And I'm always amazed at the argument of, like, I'm always amazed at the argument is, like, on-base percentage, Trout has a higher on-base percentage than Cabrera. Well, not this year. Cabrera had a higher on-base percentage. But, you know, they like, talk about war and all these other things, and I'm like, why does that matter in the argument of the MVP? Like, they hit pretty similarly. Cabrera was clearly a better hitter, but they hit pretty similarly. But Trout is like a gold glove defensive player and a really good base runner. He has 33 right. stolen bases.
Right.
For anybody that's like these kind of old school philosophy on baseball, it's like you got to play all three aspects of the game.
Right.
So
you make a great argument for him. He's definitely an incredible. When he puts on a Yankee hat, then he'll really become incredible.
well, if he does that soon, that would be pretty impressive.
Any day now, he's going to just put on a Yankee hat. He's their future.
Nats hat? What about a Nats hat?
I wish, but they
could use a different center fielder.
I mean, if they really want to throw down all that money, he's going to have to get super paid soon. What, does he have a year left till he gets super paid?
No, he's going to go to arbitration soon, but he's got a few more years before. He's only 21. They got him for like 3 or 4 more years locked up. Would you trade Strasburg for Trout?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
I think that's interesting.
Strasburg only plays once a week.
Maybe. Yeah, there's something to be said for that, although... What wins you championships?
Pitching.
You need it.
But
ace.
I need to put people in the seats, and I want to get someone that takes us to the playoffs.
So you would just trade that and then go sign all the free agents there are. Right.
I would get Edwin Jackson's.
Bartolo Colon.
Some Roque Japanese dude.
Roque Carota is going to be a free agent. You can sign him. Yeah. Just every 37-year-old.
Hideo Nomo.
He might be 57. All right, well, anybody else besides...
Chris Davis, I think, gets a nod for what he did.
That was my honorable mention, too. And I know, like, the real Sabre guys talk about Josh Donaldson. And, look, I think he had a good year. He was a very good year. One of the best hitters in the league.
Oh, the A's guy.
And very good defensive third baseman. But to me, he doesn't compare to Trout or to Cabrera. I mean, those are my one and two. I vote Trout, then Cabrera. Then, you know, then probably Chris Davis... Then maybe Josh Donaldson or maybe Cano before I get to...
Ooh, Cano.
Yeah, before I get to Donaldson. Yeah, Cano. I mean, Cano just is great every year. And he plays good second base and middle infield And like I said before, you play a premium defensive position well, that to me is bonus points.
True.
And so Cano is going to suffer the same thing as some other guys, whereas if the Yankees made the playoffs, he'd be in the top five of voting, and they're not going to. So he might still be in the top 10, because it's not like the Yankees don't get enough attention.
Yeah.
But he'll move down the list because they didn't make the playoffs. Through no fault of his, which I think is one of the ridiculous things.
Right.
So. Right.
Rookie of the year?
Rookie of the year. Well, in the NL, who do you have in the NL?
I'm going with Anthony Rendon.
That's
terrible.
He's rookie of the year for the Nats. I'm going to go with Jose Fernandez.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking? He's amazing, that kid.
And he pisses off Braves, which I love.
Wait, would Matt, the guy on the Mets, would he be considered rookie of the year, too?
No, I don't think Harvey qualified. Okay. I think he pitched enough last year that he can't qualify this year. So you're not voting for Puig, you're voting for Fernandez.
No, Fernandez is awesome.
You're not voting for Hyunjin Ryu?
I mean, he's money. Love
Japanese players.
I do, but no.
I think Teheran. Shelby Miller. They're probably in the conversation, too. But, I mean, Jose Fernandez.
Josh Freeman. I don't know.
What about AL?
I have no idea.
Well, he got traded.
Give me some names.
Jose Iglesias.
Mm.
I mean, he hit well this year, but I'd have trouble voting for him.
I would have
trouble. I'm one of those people that doesn't want to vote for a guy that I don't see as like a future.
No one stands out to me in the AL.
You know, the one guy that had a really good year, he didn't play more than half the season, but Will Myers.
Yeah, but he, I mean, come on. When did he get called up? June?
Yeah, he has about,
yeah.
I think he has probably 350 at-bats. So, you know.
Did he really? Wow, that's more than I would have thought.
Chris Archer on the Rays?
Mm.
He had a good year, the pitcher.
I guess.
Yeah, it's not the most. Oh, what about Straley on Oakland?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I would give it to him.
I think he's starting for...
Yeah, he's definitely had a great year. He played the whole season, too, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
We're close to it. He certainly...
They
didn't start with him, but I think he had, like, 25, close to 30 starts this year.
Hmm.
So, yeah, but, you know, he was just below average, I think, in terms of ERA, which is pretty good for, like, a young starter that kind of got pulled up out of nowhere, but... I like him. I think I'd probably vote for Myers, but there's nobody this year that makes me go, oh, he's...
Yeah, there's no Puig there.
I mean, I guess the thing about Iglesias is I think, you know, he had something ridiculous like, I'm going to totally make up the numbers now, but like with Boston, he had like 70 hits and 50 of them were infield hits or something. Just
really? Oh, wait, I kind of remember that. I know what you're talking about.
And so, to me, that's a guy that's not going to do that again next year. So,
right.
You know, he hit like 320 with Boston and like 240 with when he got traded to Detroit. I mean, he's just not that good of a hitter. And it's not that I'm taking anything away from him. He wasn't a good hitter in the minors. He's considered to be like an all-time great glove, and so he'll stay in the majors for a long time. But I don't think he's going to start very much. Although, I was talking with somebody about this the other day. Replacement level hitting for shortstops, especially, is like, this ain't your grandfather's shortstops or your shortstops from 5 years ago. Really.
Right.
I mean, the shortstops in the league, like Anthony Rendon's numbers at second base.
Right. Or even better if you were a shortstop.
He'd be one of the top shortstops in the league. And. Yeah. Actually, you know what? The case that I made about why I thought Espinosa, I looked at Espinosa's numbers a lot, and his career numbers going into this year basically would have made him like a top five hitting shortstop in the NL this year.
Really?
Which is why I said they need to fix his shoulder with whatever surgery he needs and trade
James
him.
Andrews.
Because everybody that I've seen write about him, especially before Desmond became who he is now, was basically like, you know, back when people were like, Desmond might not ever be good, they were like, they should probably flip the two because Espinosa is the better fielder.
Right.
And so this is a guy that can clearly play shortstop. They need to fix his shoulder because he's a start. I shouldn't say he is. Before the beginning of this year, he was a starting first caliber, maybe not the best in the league. He's not Tulowitzki. He's not and never will be. And he's not Hanley. And he's not what Desmond is now. But top half of the league for sure hitting shortstop coming into this season. Mm-hmm. And then it all went to hell. And we don't know why, but I suspect that it was the injury.
Right. I agree.
So anyway, without that, back to my original point, Iglesias may be able to find time as a starter over the years, but I don't think he's. I think people are going to get frustrated with him.
Yeah, I do too.
Second hitter.
Yeah, so, but we'll have to see how he plays in the playoff. Is he? He's on their roster, right?
He is, okay. And you know, if games are close, we might get to see. He's fun to watch. He's a defensive wizard, and. Him and Simmons, actually, Andrelton Simmons, are just incredible at defense.
Because I love the players that come out in the postseason, and then you're like all excited for them to get the start next year. So many players like just make their careers like happen in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Well, Beltran hit a shot like a 3-run home run today, and that guy is. I mean, he's always been a very good player, but in the playoffs, he's just been.
Unstoppable. That run on when he was on Kansas City, that was ridiculous. And then he got traded.
And then he did something when he was on the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros. That's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know if Kansas City made the playoffs.
Was he on Kansas City? And he went to the Astros.
Yeah, he was on Kansas City. He went to the Astros. The Astros. He hit like 7,000 for them in the playoffs. And then he was a free agent, and the Mets signed him, and everybody's like, why is he only hitting 270? It's like, because he's a 270 hitter who hit 350 in the playoffs. Like,
right.
And then after the Mets, I think he went to – he might have had one stop before coming over to St. Louis. And, you know, everybody thought he was kind of too old and because he had been hurt for a couple of years, I guess, or whatever. But he's been awesome for them.
Right.
So –
all right.
All right, sir.
That's
well,
it.
Yeah. Time to watch some playoffs.
Yeah, time to watch some playoffs. We got the Dodgers late, so we can watch some. Is Vin Scully doing it for TBS? Because they shouldn't allow anyone else.
No, but I heard somebody say something to the effect of since it's basically like if the Dodgers make the World Series that they should have him be the announcer, but right. They won't. They'll have.
That's stupid.
I think McCarver's. Is he still doing it, or is he done?
No, I thought he retired. I thought last year was his last. It's Joe Buck and...
Oh, Joe Buck.
I think it's like Dave Justice. No, I don't know who it is.
Cal? Cal will be sitting in on some TBS.
He'll definitely be, yeah.
Until the Nats hire him, right, Colm?
Right, until they hire him, and everyone freaks out, and then we go 0-20.
Just like Cal did.
Just like Cal did. What was it, 0-21 or 0... I forget.
I don't know.
I remember that, seeing it in the paper. I'm so old.
Oh, and we'd pick up the newspaper in the morning to see if the Orioles lost another game.
Yeah, that was the gimmick. Because we didn't even have Comcast Sportsnet back then.
Yeah, no internet, no paper. There was probably some bulletin board somewhere where, like, I don't know, Bill James and Rob Neyer were sending each other posts about what was going on. But other than that. Us normal people, no idea.
No
what
idea.
Until the next day.
Until home team sports finally got the Orioles.
Taking George Michael's thing away.
Take it away.
That's what we used to do. Watch the 11 o'clock news to see what the baseball team
did
that day.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you guys for listening and following us on iTunes. We do appreciate it. Remember, write us a comment on iTunes.
Yes. Comments on iTunes, stars on iTunes, anything on iTunes, downloads on iTunes. If you listen to this on the website, do us a favor and download it on iTunes.
Yes,
you don't have
please.
To listen to it a second time. Just download it on iTunes.
Yes. And you can follow me on Twitter at Culmination.
You can follow me at Nationals Review.
And you can always go to thenationalsreview.com for all the latest and greatest news and I guess, in-depth look and breaking down the numbers on the Nets.
Yes, I'll be talking about, well, what do you think? I'll be talking about what the Nets should do this offseason. Yes,
get us a first baseman.
That's probably a good idea.
And a first baseman.
Spoiler alert.
All right, everyone. Thank you a lot, and we will see you at the ballpark.
See you at the park. We tumble and fall.